Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films The Survivor, X, and All My Puny Sorrows. I wonder how many people know what the word puny means these days.
Well, that's a good question. I think, however, it's a perfectly good word and should be brought back into everyday discourse.
I couldn't agree more.
Maybe this movie will start that happening. And actually, that turns out to be a phrase from a very great poet. But let's get to that in a bit. Let's start off with The Survivor. And I have to say at the get-go here that we are dealing with dark material this week. For some reason, there are some movies that come out that deal with some unhappy subject matter. And these are three of them, although The Survivor is, of course, about a survivor. So that's a nice thing. But the material along the way is pretty dark. Namely, The Survivor is a Holocaust movie. But it's a very unusual Holocaust movie, and it actually crosses two or three different genres. It is, for one thing, yes, a movie about a survivor of the Holocaust, and it's also, interestingly, a boxing movie. There have, of course, been a whole lot of movies, and will probably always continue to be a whole lot of movies about the Holocaust, an enormously important subject which can be explored from an infinite number of angles. But this is an unusual angle, very different from famous Holocaust movies like, you know, Schindler's List and so forth. But it deals with the Holocaust, interestingly, through the lens of boxing. So it is based on a true story. It is based on, as it says at the beginning of the film, on the memories of a man named Harry Haft. And he was, in fact, imprisoned in a concentration camp during the Holocaust. And there they found out that he knew how to box. And so they had him box in boxing matches, and that was how he survived. One of the main reasons, one of the young Nazi concentration camp guards spots his talent and sets him up with matches against other people, often against other Jews. And he is not happy about any of this, but it is a way of surviving. And so he fights and he wins his fights, and that way he manages to survive. But as I said, this movie is based on the memories of the real Harry Haft. And so we have the movie really jumping among different time frames. We have him back in the 1960s thinking back over what happened to him earlier on, and he is looking for someone, and that is an absolute theme of the movie. He had a love who also vanished into the concentration camps. And after World War II is over, and after the Holocaust is over, and he's back, and he's living in the United States, and he's continuing with his boxing career, all that he wants to do is to find the woman he once loved. Where could she be? Is she still alive? Can he find her? And he decides that one way to do this would be to get his name in the newspapers. So against the advice of his brother, who is another important character in the film, he agrees to tell his story to a newspaper writer, and that way get his name in the paper. And his big ambition is to have a match against a really famous boxer. In fact, he has his heart set on fighting the great Rocky Marciano, because that will, if he wins that fight, or even if he fights that fight, get his name in the papers, and maybe his loved one out there will see his name and will look for him. In the meanwhile, he never stops looking for her. So that's basically what this story is. We have many, many scenes that take place in the concentration camp during the Holocaust. We see somewhat of the horrors that took place there, and we certainly get a whole lot of information about how hideous that was. And then we have him in later years looking for his love and trying to use his boxing career as a way to get some fame and attention, and thereby maybe get her to be looking for him at the same time that he is looking for her. I won't tell how the whole thing turns out. I will say that the ending of the film is, well, to use a word I sometimes like to use, it is bittersweet, how the whole movie turns out. It's a very, very well-made movie. It was directed by Barry Levinson, a very fine filmmaker. Not all of his work is great by any means, but he's made quite a number of major films over the years. This is an ambitious film. It's well over 2 hours long, and one of the drives driving forces behind it is the lead performance by Ben Foster, who apparently lost a whole lot of weight for some scenes in the movie and gained a whole lot of weight for other scenes in the movie. This reminds me of another famous boxing movie, Raging Bull, where Robert De Niro did heroic feats of losing and gaining weight to play his hero at various times, or anti-hero at various times in the course of that story. And Ben Foster did the same. But it's a very, very solid performance. There's a really, really good supporting cast in the film as well. People like John Leguizamo, Peter Sarsgaard, the wonderful Danny DeVito. People like that pop up in the movie. So it's a very well-acted movie. It's a very it's a good-hearted movie. And it brings our thoughts back to the Holocaust, always worth thinking about, always worth remembering, and more than worth it, crucial to think about and remember. But again, this movie deals with it through an unusual angle, and I recommend it. It's not a great film, but it's a very, very good, solid, and thoughtful film, and I did rather like it. So The Survivor, good picture, especially if you're interested in the Holocaust, and also if you're interested in prize fighting. Our second movie today, Jill, I talked about dark territory. Now we get really dark for a moment because X, and that is the title, just the letter X, is a horror movie. And it is a very, very grim horror movie at that. It was written and directed by Ty West, who specializes in, you guessed it, horror movies. That's what he does. And this movie, interestingly, I resisted seeing X for a little while. By the way, it's streaming. It's easy to find. Because, well, I just thought, who really needs another one of these down and dirty sort of horrific horror movies? But then it has gotten really, really solid reviews from so many critics, so many of my colleagues in the movie reviewing profession. And I just thought, well, let's see if they're onto something here. And so it turns out, actually, a lot of the good reviews are out of nostalgia for a kind of movie that doesn't get made as much now as it used to get made. X is a movie that deals into this old tradition of real gore fests. It really delivers on the violence, and it also really delivers on the sex. This is, in short, a movie that trades very much in the old exploitation film fashion in sex and violence, and it is very explicit in both departments, and again, it delivers a whole bunch of both. So here's the setup for this movie. We are back in the 1970s. I guess these movies have to be set in the past because you can't have cell phones in them, or else the whole story would never even take place. People would call for help. But we have a group of young people, young folks, who are going to make themselves a, by the way, this is another very late 70s kind of a thing. They are going to make themselves a porn movie. They are going to make themselves a really dirty movie. That's the phrase that one of them uses for it. That's what they're going to do. And this is in the very early days when video was starting to be used for making porn movies and other sort of low-budget trash. So they're going to make their trashy movie, and they're going to do it on video, and they're going to open up a whole new arena for exploitation movies, for just making money off of sex and violence. Well, in their case, it's just going to be sex. It's going to be a sex movie. And we see a whole lot of the movie they're making in this movie that I'm talking about, X. So that's where a whole lot of the sex comes in. And little rivalries develop and jealousies and things like that among this group of young people. And there's a little bit of comedy. The guy who is directing it really thinks that he can make an art film. At one point he says a dirty movie can be a good movie, so he's intending to make a real work of art in the manner of the French New Wave or something like that, but it's still going to be a pornography movie, and that's what they're there to do. So to make this movie, they go to they rent an old house in somewhere deep in the backwoods, well, not the woods, but in Texas, in rural Texas, and they're renting this place from a couple of old people, very old people, who don't know what they're going to be doing in this house that they've rented on the property. So that's the setup for the movie. A bunch of young people making a pornographic film in an old house that they've rented from a couple of old people. And it turns out that those old people are not as harmless as they may look at first. They are, in fact, very, very sinister people. And before you know it, blood starts to flow. Now, X is really, among its other qualities, it is really derivative. Psycho is actually cited by name in the movie. They name check that. And there's a lot of Psycho in this movie in various ways. There is quite a bit of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre in this movie as well. That's another very, very famous and very hugely influential horror movie of bygone years. X is not remotely as good as Alfred Hitchcock's great Psycho, which, by the way, is one of the masterpieces of world cinema, in my view. And it is not nearly as good as the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the Tobe Hooper movie that really broke a lot of new ground and is in its way a very, very creditable work. X is much more down and dirty than those films, even though it draws a lot on them and is heavily influenced by them. Will you like X if you go to see X, Jill? I doubt if you will. If you really want a movie in the old-fashioned exploitation movie vein, which really delivers on the sex and violence in a very down and dirty way, then you will like X, and you should rush off and see it. If you don't want any of those things, then you should stay far and far away from X. X should not mark the spot for you. I had an okay time watching it. It's well done. Ty West knows what he's doing. But it's just an exploitation movie. It's a good exploitation movie, but let's face it, that is a category which has very, very strong limitations. So I can't recommend the movie very wholeheartedly. But again, if this is the sort of thing you like, then you'll like this sort of thing. Our final movie today now is again very dark, but it is on such a higher level, All My Puny Sorrows. That title, unusual title, I think very, very haunting kind of title, comes from a poem by Samuel Taylor Coleridge, one of the greatest English poets of all time, and one of my real favorites, by the way. And that's sort of revealed at the end of the movie, but I don't think that's a spoiler. That is where the title comes from. And this movie is about the kind of people who would be familiar with the poetry of Samuel Taylor Coleridge. They are thoughtful people. They are literate people. They are also troubled people. All My Puny Sorrows is basically, well, it's a story about family because almost all the important characters in it are members of a family. And it's also very much a movie about sisters because the two main characters are sisters and they're very close to each other. And it's also very much a movie about death. And again, this gets into very, very sensitive territory. It is about these two sisters. One of them is an extremely gifted pianist who has made a real career as a concert pianist. She's young. It's a budding career, but it's a real career. And that's what she does, and she's looking forward to her next tour and that sort of thing. The other sister is a writer. And she writes novels, and she is working on her latest one, and they are very gifted people, obviously, in all sorts of ways. But one of these two sisters, the concert pianist one, is suicidal. She has a really seriously problem with, I suppose it's bipolar disorder, and she really, truly desires to end her life. And that is what most of the movie deals with. And it is very much about her desire to end her life. She ends up in a mental hospital where they are going to prevent her from doing that, but she still would really want to do it, and she is asking for her sister, the writer sister, she's asking for her help. Could you please take me to Switzerland where it's legal to have assisted suicide? Could you do something to help me end my life? And that is what the movie is about. So again, very, very dark. And as it's often said nowadays with warnings about this sort of thing, if you don't want to deal with movies that or any sort of material that deals very forthrightly and directly and without pulling any punches with the extremely troubling subject of suicide, then you should certainly stay away from this movie. That said, however, I talked about X being an exploitation movie. This is the opposite of an exploitation movie. It is very, very thoughtful, very dialogue-driven, and really deals with the philosophical implications of its subject, as well as with the psychological and simply human drama implications of its subject matter. Now, there are things with All My Puny Sorrows. By the way, it was written and directed by Michael McGowan, based on a novel by Miriam Toews. There are certain things about the movie which I think are unnecessary and make it a little bit more complicated than it needs to be. For one thing, it jumps around in time. It's not always clear in the way it jumps around in time, and there's no reason for it to be jumping around in time. I think that it would be more effective if it were more straightforward. It's fine to have flashbacks along the way to their childhoods and so forth, but I think the movie is a little bit too eager to sort of hop around through different time periods. That makes it a little bit too complicated. Aside from that, it's just a beautifully directed, very, very restrained movie. It's a very quiet movie. My one other hesitation about it is it's so restrained and so quiet that at times it does get a trifle dull. There are times when I wish it would kind of get on things a bit. But that said, it is just a really, really gorgeously done movie, and it has a really, really fine performances by its two lead actors. And I have to say that the main one I want to mention is Alison Pill, who is a tremendously gifted actor, and she is simply excellent. She plays the writer sister, the one who is trying to save her pianist sister from ending her life in a very unhappy way. She gives a superb performance. All of the acting in the movie is absolutely, absolutely first rate. But Alison Pill, I think, takes the top honors in the picture. It's just really, really very well done. So again, All My Puny Sorrows, it takes its title from English poetry. It had deals with the kind of people who would be familiar with that sort of thing, a writer, a pianist. They're serious people, they're artists, but they're also facing the most grim kind of human problems. One, a true desire to end her life. The other, a true desire to save her sister, but not really knowing how. It's a very, very thoughtful film, a very, very sensitively made movie, and I recommend it very highly for people who can handle its very, very grim subject matter. All My Puny Sorrows is the opposite, if I may say this, of a puny movie. It's a very strong and, in its way, powerful movie. So that is my somewhat dark-toned story this week, Jill.
For which we thank you, as ever and always, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films The Survivor, X, and All My Puny Sorrows.